Peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Palm Sunday procession of Jesus over 2,000 years ago could be compared to a ticker tape parade of today. You know, ticker tape parades began in New York City back in 1886. And ticker tape is actually the perforated sides of sheets of paper. They used to have machines that would feed the paper, and they would give the information, and they would tear it off and then keep the paper and have all of this garbage. Well, they finally found a use for this garbage. They would dump it out the windows on a parade. And in fact, in 1962, when John Glenn had his parade down New York City, there were almost 3,500 tons of ticker tape that were poured out the windows of the skyscrapers in New York City. Well, we don't have ticker tape parades anymore. There is no more ticker tape, and besides which, all the skyscrapers now have permanent windows. You can't open them to throw stuff down onto the streets below. But just like the people of New York City used what was available for them on ticker tape parades, on Palm Sunday, the people of Jerusalem used what they had available, and it was palms. That's a common tree there in the Jerusalem area, and they used it to wave and to welcome their coming hero, much as a ticker tape parade welcomed heroes like John Glenn and others. But Jesus didn't come to be a hero. And that's the whole irony of Palm Sunday. The people's expectations of a Messiah who would come and liberate them, and Jesus' expectations to come and suffer and to die. And all the crowds weren't aware of it. Jesus was a dead man walking. He came into Jerusalem for that very purpose. In fact, in all of the Gospels, three different times Jesus tells his disciples in the weeks before he came into Jerusalem, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees and the elder, I'm going to be killed and 3 days later rise. He knew what was coming on, and he took that path, that humble path that would lead to his death. And so the crowds were totally unaware, and you can imagine how hard that must have been for Jesus as they're waving their palms, as they're saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who ushers in the kingdom of David. With all of that expectation, Jesus knows those cheers are going to turn into jeers of crucify him, crucify him. And in many ways, you can't help the crowds for misunderstanding Jesus. Jesus came during Passover. And what is Passover? It's the celebration of when Moses liberated the people from the Pharaoh and took them to the promised land. It's the time, the one time during the year they most think about freedom. And when you think about freedom and you remember a leader that led you out of slavery to freedom, that's what they were looking for now. Could Jesus be the new Moses? Could he be the one that casts off the new Pharaoh, Rome, and gives us freedom so that we can enjoy the promised land that God had given to us? That was certainly their expectations. And on top of that, if there was going to be a time you could rebel against Rome, it was during Passover. Literally hundreds of thousands of Jews from all around the area descended on Jerusalem. It was crammed with people. And the Romans would have been greatly outnumbered during the Passover festival. So it was a theme of freedom. It was an opportunity for freedom with all the people there. And then we so often think, oh, Jesus, he came in humbly riding a donkey. But that's not the image that the scriptures have. A donkey was not simply a humble image. If you go to Zechariah 9:9-10, and all good Jews would know this verse about the coming Messiah. It says, lo, your king comes to you triumphant. And victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea. Boy, that changes your view of Palm Sunday. He's not just the humble Jesus riding a donkey, but here's Zechariah. Your triumphant king will come, and he'll cast off the chariot, and he'll cast off the battle bow, and he will have dominion from sea to sea. So you can see why all the people, as Jesus is coming in on this donkey and they're aware of this passage from Zechariah and they're celebrating the freedom of the Passover, and there's a whole bunch of them, they could take that Roman garrison in Jerusalem by force if they had a leader who could lead them. And that's what they were hoping for in Jesus. But we realize that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus didn't come for political renewal. He came for spiritual renewal. So what's the first thing Jesus does when he comes into Jerusalem? He goes to the temple and he drives out the money changers. My Father's house should be a house of prayer. And Jesus says we need to change things. It's just about ritual. It's just about offering up sacrifices without offering up your lives and your hearts to God. Jesus wanted change. And because he wanted that spiritual renewal, he ended up alienating his own people more than even the Romans. Because those leaders, when he upturned and turned over all of those tables and said, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves," that did not sit well with the leadership. And from the moment he enters into Jerusalem, they're plotting not to join him. They are plotting his death. But Jesus, again, wasn't concerned about the political. When they asked him, you know, that famous thing with the coin, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Here's an opportunity. Maybe we should rebel against Caesar, but Jesus doesn't go there. You know, what's on the coin? Caesar's image. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. Again, he was more concerned with spiritual renewal than political insurrection. And in fact, Jesus says about the scribes, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets, but they devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. Oh, they may do all the right things at the temple, but they don't have compassion for people. They don't really seek justice. They don't really love God. That's what Jesus came for, was that spiritual renewal. And because he came in and alienated right from the beginning, he knew he was a dead man walking. They didn't send him to the cross. He chose to walk the path that led to the cross. Even Pilate, when he asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not about politics. I'm about spiritual renewal." And although Jesus did not come to lead an insurrection, he did come to change the world. And so he left us the formula for changing the world. He says, love not just your neighbor, but love your enemies as well. He says, forgive as you have been forgiven. And when they asked, how much should we forgive? 7 times, he says, no, 70 times 7. Spiritual renewal, grounded in love, grounded in forgiveness. But he also said, you are to have a new allegiance. Seek first the kingdom of God. Your first allegiance is not your country. Your first allegiance isn't even your family. Or yourself. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else will fall into place. That's what Jesus called the people of his day. That's what he calls us to as well, a spiritual renewal, to seek God and his kingdom first in our lives. Well, what the Jewish leaders, the crowds, and Pilate didn't know is that Jesus intended to go to the cross. The cross is the way Jesus would reconcile the world to God. You know, when you read through Hebrews, There's several chapters that go into great detail. Just how is this sacrifice of Jesus different than all the sacrifices that were made in the temple? And the writer of Hebrews culminates that whole thought of Jesus' sacrifice in 10:10 by saying, "And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." There is the foundation of what Palm Sunday is about. He comes to offer his life as a sacrifice for us once for all. So Palm Sunday begins with a wonderful celebration. Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna for the coming kingdom of David. The crowds are shouting with anticipation, but Jesus knows he's a dead man walking. The path to Jerusalem is not the path to the throne, it's the path to the cross. But it is because he willingly dies that we have life. The dead man walking is the Savior giving life. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, we like parades, we like to win, we don't like to suffer. And yet that is the calling of Jesus, to suffer for us. And through his suffering we have life, both life now and the promise of life for eternal. Lord, help us take up our crosses and follow him. Amen.